Can I welcome Gary? Gary Ennis is going to talk to us about mastering Microsoft Office. Gary, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Okay.
First of all, can everyone hear me okay? Yeah? No? Who said no? Okay, for Mark's just said my name's Gary Eadie. I'm blind myself. I've got no sight in my left eye and very little sight in my right eye. And for many years now, I've been using Microsoft Office in work situation and in education situation. And I've been working in the field of vision impairment for about 30 years. I know I can hear some of you thinking to yourself, surely he wasn't in work at 15. Sure, you know, but 30 years, and I've been using JAWS for approximately 30 years as well. I do use other screen readers from time to time. And I wanted to take this opportunity of thanking you all to come along. I mean, it's nice to see or hear, I don't know how many, 12 people or so, perhaps, I don't know. And I try and involve you guys as much as possible by trying to answer some of your questions about, you know, some of these queries you might have about Word, Excel, Outlook, whatever it might be, and JAWS. But first of all, I do access to work training for the government, essentially. And most of that training is surrounding Microsoft Office, usually Teams, Word, Excel, and Outlook. And most of the problems I come across with people when they've got their troubles, if you like, it's really about how the program's configured in the first place before actually getting into what they're trying to do. So I want to just talk through some of the things that we can customize to make things a lot smoother when using JAWS with Microsoft Office. And when we talk about Office, typically we're talking about Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint. That's typically what we talk about. But of course, there are other apps like Binder, OneNote, Access, and Teams, which I'm not going to cover any of those here, thankfully. So I'm going to take a seat, if that's okay. It's more difficult to do it standing up. So I've already ruined Mark's laptop, so he won't know this, though. So when you open, I'm going to open up Word here, just as an example.
Windows default lock screen. Table 1, non-uniform table. Apple iPhone and iPad listening to RNIB escape. Leaving tape. Word. Okay. Enter. Menu. Blank document. To move through items, press up or down arrow. Alt followed by F, H, Y3.
Okay, so one of the first things I'll do is turn that verbosity down on JAWS as well, but for now it's okay. So when you come into Word for the first time, you're presented with this screen. It's called the start screen. And you're not actually in a blank document, whereas in older versions of Word, you were straight into a blank document and off you could go creating your document. So this screen here is a real nuisance. I mean, all I've got to do is press escape to get rid of it.
Escape, leaving menu.
However, I can disable that and just stop it happening in the future. And whilst I'm disabling that, there's one or two other things I can disable as well at the same time. I'll just go through them. So I'm going to go to the File menu.
Alt menu. Home.
And I'm going to press the letter T, which is the shortcut for settings.
Options. Leaving menus. General. 1 of 11. To move to an item, press the arrow keys.
So when you come into the settings dialog box in Office, whether it be Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, whatever it might be, it's the same screen. And you have a list of categories down the left-hand side of the screen. And that's where the focus is at the moment. And as you select a category from the left-hand side of the screen, the right-hand side of the screen automatically changes to show you the settings for the selected category. And in this instance here, I'm positioned on the general option. Just to make sure that I'm going to arrow down then back up to it.
Display, general, 1 of 11.
And in here, if I press the tab key, I'll move into the settings for this category. And I'm looking for an option that says, don't show the backstage view. Don't show the start screen.
User interface option. Show mini toolbar or enable live preview checkbox check.
Now I could tap around here about 9 more times, but there is a shortcut key to get there quickly, and it's Alt plus H.
Alt H. Start dash up options. Show the start screen when this application starts checkbox not checked. To check, press spacebar. Alt plus H.
When I move to that checkbox, I automatically change its setting from what it was before. So it was on checked, it's now on unchecked. So that's perfect for where I want to be at the moment. Another feature that Microsoft, to their wisdom, put into the operating system a few years ago now was what's called Protected View. And this is a bit of a problem, isn't it, for some people. You open an Outlook attachment and you can't read it in the way you'd like to read it. Well, you can disable that from happening completely. And Mark, I notice you've got Protected View on your laptop here, so I'm going to disable it for you. So I'm going to press Control and Tab to move to the next category on this dialog box.
Categories list box, display.
And what I'm looking for is Trust Center.
Proofing, three, save, language, accessibility, advanced, customize ribbon, a quick access to, add dash ins, Trust Center, 11 of 11.
So when I go to the Trust Center, again, the options down the right-hand side of the screen change to show me the settings for this option. And I'm looking for, it's called Trust Center Settings.
Trust Center, Microsoft Word Trust, OK button, to cancel but categories list, but Trust Center, security and more, Microsoft Word Trust Center Settings dot 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 button, to activate and, press space bar.
And that's what I'm looking plus for T. In here. So these also do a security, really, these settings inside here.
Enter, macro settings, 7 of 13, to move to...
And I'm in another list at this point, and the option I'm looking for in here is called Protected View. So I just press P.
Protected View, 8 of 13.
And I can now tap across the screen to the various options. The one I'm looking for two here, really.
Protected View. Enable Protected View for files originating from the internet. Checkbox checked. To clear checkmark, press spacebar.
Now, I would uncheck all of these personally. Mark, I'll put these back later, I promise. Okay. So.
Space. Not checked. Enable Protected View for files located in potentially unsafe locations. Checkbox checked. When sealed, space. Not checked. Enable Protected View for Outlook attachments. Checkbox checked.
And that's when the big one, isn't it? Outlook attachments. That's the one that always catches people out. So I'm going to take that off.
Space. Not checked.
And I'm going to go back to my category list.
Category. ActiveX. Add dash. Trusted add. Trusted document. Trusted look. Trusted publishers. One issue to sort it. OK button. Enter. Trust Center setting. Category, quick act, advanced, accessibility, language, save, proofing, 3 of 11.
Now, this is my personal choice here, but I tend to turn off all of the autocorrect options, every single one, because I can't stand it when I'm creating a document and I press the enter key and it starts a bulleted list or a numbered list. So just as a hint, I would go into proofing here. And I would go to
proofing, autocorrect options, autocorrect options dot here. Dot dot button to space, replace colon edit.
And I'll go through every single option that's ticked and untick them all. So it's a bit laborious, but once it's done, it's perfect for my usage. And I would suggest to some people who all they want to do is a bit of word processing, perhaps without any difficulties cropping up, to come on in here and turn off all these features. They're a bit of a pain. I'm sure some people like them, but I don't.
Escape, autocorrect option.
And the one more, it's in the save category.
Categories list box, save, 4 of 11.
And in here, there's an option called don't show the backstage view when saving your files. So this is the option that when you press Control S, it will say, where do you want to save it? On the cloud, on your hard drive, on a memory stick, etc. I don't want that. I just want it to save in my documents folder. Thank you very much. And I'm just going to find you the option here.
Save. Save file. Save auto rep minutes edit spin box. Keep the last auto recover file. Browse dot 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 button. Don't show the backstage when opening or saving files with keyboard shortcuts. Checkbox not checked. To check, press space bar.
So this one, I do need to check it because the question is don't show it. So I'll check that.
Space. Checked.
And I'll just press the enter key now to
enter. Edit.
Action those changes. So now I'm going to close down Word.
Alt F4. Listening to RNIB talking books on iOS devices.
And I've got a few files here that Mark kindly stored on his laptop for me. And I'm going to go through initially how to format a document suitable for accessibility purposes. For example, with heading styles and headers and footers, etc. And then change it into a PDF. And that would be a totally accessible PDF. It's nothing worse than opening a PDF file. And there's no heading styles in it. So from a Jaws user's point of view or an NVDA user's point of view, that isn't very good because I can't then navigate that PDF quickly. So I'm just going to open this file called
T, Apple iPhone and iPad. T, easy reader. Is escape. Out of, easy reader. Out of table, blank. Documents dash file explorer, the life of Louis Braille. Enter. The life of Louis Braille dash word, print view, edit.
Okay, so now this document is not protected. I can just get straight on and edit this document however I want to do that. So this document is in a, I think it's in Courier font. Let's just have a look.
11 point, white smoke on gray 15. Calibri, normal style, line spacing colon single, paragraph formatting colon align.
I'm just going to see if that, if Mark's got this set on high contrast. I think he has.
High contrast, yes button. To activate, press space bar, alt plus y, escape, the life of Louis.
I'm not going to change his colors. So for when I sort of like format documents, and when anybody in here potentially formats documents, there's generally three font sizes that you could, should consider. So that's the font size for the body text, so that's the regular font. The font size for any headings that you have, subheading should I say, and the font size for the main heading at the top of the document. I'd go down the lines of, if my body text is size 12, I'll have my subheadings at 15 or 16 and my main heading at 20. It's just to make it stand out better for anyone that's reading it visually. So I'm going to change this into size 12 to start off with.
6,205.
And I'm going to press Control and D, which is the shortcut key, to go through to the font dialog box.
Control D, font dialog, font colon, edit combo, Calibri. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value.
Now, when you come into the font list box here, you can just arrow down until you find the font that you want. But there are about 120 of them in here. You can't use first letter navigation. But what you can do, you can type the first couple of characters of the name and then press down arrow. And Word will move the focus to the first font that begins with that couple of characters you typed. So I'm going to type in Arial here, or AR.
R, Arabic typesetting. Aptuser, Arabic types, Arif Ruka, Arial.
So that's the one I want. I'm going to move over to the size.
Alt S, tab, size colon, edit combo. 11 to set the
12, and that's good enough for me.
12, enter, print view, edit.
So my font now is
12 point, white smoke on gray 15, Arial, normal style, line spacing colon single, paragraph formatting colon aligned left.
So it's saying about the color being gray smoke, that's because Mark's got his colors on black. That is definitely Arial size 12. So now I want to look at formatting my headings. And to apply styles, there's quite a few different ways that you can apply styles. Anyone know what a style actually is? What's a style?
It's a combination of...
Say that again. What was that, David?
It wasn't me, it was Steve.
Oh, Steve.
You find them on the field when you go for a walk.
So a style is a collection of formatting settings stored under a name. So the normal style on the computer in Word is Arial, 11 points, black, left align, single line spacing, etc. It's all stored under a single name, and they can be applied very quickly to text. So I'm going to apply
blank. Bookmark introduction.
Heading 2, so this heading here.
Selected, bookmark introduction.
So I selected my heading, and I'm going to apply heading 2 to it. So how I do that, I'm going to press Control Shift and S.
Control Shift S, style name colon edit, type in text, style name colon, edit combo, normal.
So this brings up the style list, and I'm going to find heading 2 in this list.
Heading 1, normal. Heading 1, header. Head normal, page number.
Okay.
Head footer, clear all.
Okay.
Footer, clear all.
Okay, so I see Mark's got
escape.
So I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to use Alt Control and 2, which is the shortcut key for applying a heading 2.
Alt Control 2. I.
And it's now
India. 13 point. Light blue on gray 15. Aptus display. Heading 2 style. Line spacing colon single. Paragraph formatting colon aligned left. Outline level colon 2.
So it says a lot of information there. So I've applied heading 2 to this particular subheading. And ordinarily, what I used to do before I got into using styles, I would select the heading and I would go to the font box and I would change it to 14 and bold and maybe underline it. And I'd go down to the next subheading and do exactly the same. And it got laborious. And at the same time, I would often forget to do one subheading. So I'd have inconsistencies in my text. With styles, that doesn't happen. I'm going to go down to my next subheading here.
Louis Braille invented, died in 18. This small band of bookmark, where does the story, Louis Braille bookmark, where does the story begin, end bookmark.
Now, I don't know why it's saying bookmark, but it's not really important. I'm going to select this heading here.
Selected. Bookmark, where does the story begin, question, end bookmark.
And I'm going to apply heading 2 to that. And I can do exactly the same thing. Alt, Control, 2.
Alt, Control, 2. W, blank, bookmark, heading, level 2, where, 13 point, light blue on grey, 15, aptus display, heading 2,
start. As soon as it tells me it's heading 2, that's fine. Oh, there's two or three more headings in here. I'm going to do the same with these.
Louis Braille's school, despite his sight loss, at the age of 10, he was lucky at the school in misspelled Parry. Page 2, one day something happened that, bookmark, how did he develop, bookmark, how did he develop Braille, question.
I'll apply heading 2 to this.
Alt, Control, 2.
Alt, Control, 2.
The young Louis Braille. Even so, the not only could people with sight, bookmark, what did he go, bookmark, what did he go on to, Alt, Control, 2.
I've applied.
Page 3, bottom of file. Page 1, top of file.
I've applied,
the life of
applied
Louis
Braille. Heading 2 to all of the subheadings in this document. Now, you might think, well, so what? You know, it's not very flash, is it, doing that? I'll apply for heading 1 to the top one as well.
The life of Louis Braille.
Title.
Select.
So that's my main title.
Blank.
But as a JAWS user, I can actually take advantage of these headings by toggling my cursor to what's called the virtual PC cursor. It's the one that you use on the web. I'll do that here with Insert Z.
Quick keys on.
And I can just press H now to go down to my headings in this document.
Heading 2, Introduction. Heading 2, where does the story begin? Page 2. Heading 2, how did he develop Braille?
So I'm now navigating through this document in a much quicker fashion than just pressing up and down arrow. I'm going back to the top.
Page 1. Top of file.
Someone's got their phone going on. I can also use the headings list, which is a feature available with virtual when the virtual PC cursor is on.
Heading list dialog. Headings list view. The life of Louis Braille, colon, 1. 1 of 5. To move.
And I can see how the document is structured by looking at the headings in this document.
Introduction, colon. Where does the story begin, colon? How did he develop Braille, colon, 2? What did he go on to do, colon, 2?
If I wanted to go down to that particular heading, I press the Enter key on it.
Enter. Bookmark, heading, level 2. What did he go on to do, end bookmark.
Edit. So this is only a small document. It's a 2-page document. But if this was a 35-page document, it would just jump me straight down to page 27, for example, without me having to go down, 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 etc. And I could just read the rest of my document
blank
quite comfortably now.
Louis Braille eventually became a teacher in the school where he had been a student. He was admired and respected by his pupils, but unfortunately, he did not live to see his system widely adopted. He had always been plagued by ill health, and in 1852, at the age of 43, he died from tuberculosis. Blank.
Poor old Louis.
Page 1, top of file, heading, level 1, the life of Louis Braille.
So this is the first step, really, to creating an accessible document, is by applying heading styles to your subheadings and a style to the main heading at the top. Without that, you shouldn't really be publishing documents that don't have styles in them. I don't believe so, anyway. And do people in here use styles? Anybody use styles in here? Yeah? Who doesn't? Now, what if you don't like a style? So, I don't actually like the font that's associated with this style here. Let's go back down to heading 2.
Bookmark heading. Louis Braille. Bookmark heading, level 2. Bookmark.
So I don't actually like the font for that style. And if I wanted to change the font for that style and then apply it to all the other headings at the same time, that can be quite laborious, but there is a beautiful feature built into Word where I do it all in one go, all the subheadings in one go. So I'm going to go to press Control-Shift-S.
Control-Shift-S. Style name, colon. Edit combo. Heading 2. To set the value you...
And Word detects that because I've highlighted a heading 2, it's picked it up in that list of styles there. And I can press the Tab key and come to the option called Modify.
Reapply button. To activate... Modify dot 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 button. To activate, press space bar.
So I press the space bar. As it
space. Says. Modify style dialog. Name colon. Edit combo.
So in this screen, I can tab around this screen. There's lots and lots of controls in here. It tells me what the current setting is for this style. But also in this dialog box, there are options for changing the paragraph alignments, the font, the color, all sorts of things. And it's inside a menu labeled format. And I'm going to press shift tab to get to it.
Cancel button, OK button, format button menu. Press space to activate the menu, then navigate space. Enter font dot dot dot. To move through items, press up or down.
So the first option in this list is font, and that's exactly what I want. So I'm going to choose that.
And leaving menus, format button menu. Press space to activate the menu, then navigate with arrow keys. Alt plus O, modify style, tab, font colon, edit combo, plus headings, to set the value.
So I want my heading 2 style here to be size 16 and Times New Roman, just as an example. So I'm going to type T-I-M, followed by down arrow.
Tim, Times New Roman.
I'm going to go over to the size.
Alt S, size colon, edit combo, 13.
16. And I'm going to change the color.
Font color left paren accent 1 right paren button. To activate, press space bar. Alt down arrow. Color picker. To more colors dot dot standard colors. Green. At green. Accent 6. Darker home. White. Background 1. Darker 5% RGB. White. Background 1. White. Automatic. Up theme color. Automatic.
So I'm going to put it on automatic, which means when I print this document out, I use black paper, it will print it out in white text or vice versa. So automatically, Word decides the color that's most appropriate for the background.
Enter, modify style, font dialog, font color left paren accent 1 right paren button. To activate, press space bar. Alt S, enter, the life of Louis Braille.
So I've changed my fonts and the size and the color of this text to be more appropriate for my document. I'm not going to activate the OK button though. I'm going to go press Shift Tab a couple of times here.
Format button menu. Only in this document, radio button checked.
There's a group of radio buttons here where I can decide whether I want to keep this format of that heading 2 for all documents I use in the future or just for this one document. So if I choose this option here.
New documents based on this template, radio button checked.
So that means that if I create another document tomorrow or later on today and apply heading 2, it will pick up the style that I've modified here. But I'm not going to do that unmarked because he won't
fit. Only in this document, radio button checked.
I'm going to go back again around this dialog box.
Automatically update checkbox not checked.
And this is the option I want to tick. Automatically update.
Space. Checked.
And I'm going to press OK here.
Enter. Modify dot 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 button. To activate, press space bar.
And I've got to go back to my document.
Shift F6, the life of Louis Braille dash word blank. Bookmark heading level 2 introduction at 16 point. White smoke on gray 15. Times New Roman. Heading 2 style. Line spacing colon single. Paragraph formatting colon
so
align
I should
left.
Go down to the second subheading. It may or may not have worked, let's see.
Louis Braille died in 18. This small band. Bookmark heading level 2. Where does the story be? 16 point. White smoke on
so
gray.
It changed it. So that I'm not having to go through the whole document now and change them individually. It's just worked out that everything that's marked as heading 2 will be automatically changed to be the same as what I specified earlier on.
Top of file, heading level 1, the life of Louis Braille.
And I could, without heading styles, I can't create a table of contents in my document. You just can't do that. So I could create a table of contents here for my document, should I wish, and it would take about 20 seconds to do that. But without heading styles, you'd have to create that manually and take ages to do. So if I wanted to save this as a PDF, I'll just press F12.
F12. Style name colon edit. Heading 2. Type in text. The life of Louis Braille. Save as dialog. File name.
And I'll just press the tab key once.
Save as type colon combo
choose
box.
PDF.
PDF. 7 of 17. P. Enter. Edit. Open the press. Enter. Heading level 1. The life of Louis Braille. Heading level 2. Introduction. Louis Braille invented quote. Almost every Louis Braille invented title is. The life of Louis Braille. PDF-work-Microsoft Edge. PDF.
Okay, and it saved it as a PDF, and I could just now publish that and send it out to whoever I wanted to send it out to. So let's just close that down here.
Alt F4, the life of Louis Braille dash Word, edit. Blank, heading level 1.
So there are some things I like in Word to make things a bit easier to use. One feature that I think is very valuable for people to get used to using is the search feature in Word. For example, if I wanted to put a header or footer onto my document here, if I didn't know the layout of the ribbon structure very well, I might be fishing around for quite a while to find where to go. But if I press Alt and Q, which is the shortcut key for ask a question.
Alt Q, ribbon, type to search and use the up and down arrow keys to navigate submenu, Microsoft Search Edit. Just start typing.
I'm going to type in the word footer.
Six suggestions available, four in actions, one in find and document, menu, actions group, add a footer submenu, one of four.
So there's
footers help you repeat content at the bottom of every page. They're useful for showcasing information like title.
And it's a submenu, so I can just press the enter key to see what's inside the submenu.
Enter, expanded, add a footer, built dash in, blank.
And there are quite a few options here.
Blank left paren, three columns right paren, Austin, simple footer with a page border button, 3 of 20.
I'm going to go for
banded. Facet left paren, filigree, grid, right dash, integral, shade, iron left paren, dark, iron left paren, dark, motion left paren, odd, retrospect, blank left paren, blank left paren, three, enter, the life of Louis Braille dash word, Microsoft Word document, footer dash section one dash edit.
And now I could just put my footer in here as I fancy, so let's put something in.
Gary. ED. Not. Page. Alt Shift P. 15.68 centimeters. Alt Control D.
Oops, that was the wrong key.
Alt Shift D.
So I've now got my footer.
Black. Gary ED. Page 113/09/2025. Left bracket. Type here. Right bracket. Footer.
Okay. And I could format that text to be different than the main text of the document.
Selected. Gary Control D. Font dialog. Font colon. Edit combo. Times. Time tab. Font size colon 2.11. Enter. Footer dash section one dash escape.
And that's it. That's my document pretty much now ready for sending out. The header and footer options, I use shortcut keys quite a lot in there. Things like Shift Alt and D will put an automatic date in for you. You can do Shift Alt and P for a page number. There's quite a few of these commands. I've got lists of these that I can send out to Julian. He can circulate them should he wish. To everybody here. I'm just going to close this for the time being.
Alt F4, save button, to activate press, we'll JAWS Professional. S, JAWS version 2.0, listening to RNIB talking books on iOS device.
Okay, so in Excel, configuration options in Excel, there's a couple in Excel I normally turn off myself. One of them is automatic entry of data that's in the cell to the left or the right. I don't really like that. Whereas, for example, if you start typing a word that's already in a cell, a previous cell, it will try to complete it for you. And again, protected view, I would turn that off in Excel in case I get an attachment that is a spreadsheet. But there was a question came in about Excel. Let's have a look at it.
This blank.
It's fruit and veg.
F blank. JAWS Professional Documents dash File Explorer Fruit and Veg Sales. Enter. Opening dash Excel. Please what? First cell.
Somebody posted a question to Julian last week, I think it was, and they wanted to know how they can get the column headings to read automatically. I think so. There's a number of ways you can do this. I mean, you can do what's called on the fly. So that's just a temporary. Column reading feature, or you can apply a cell name to do that. And the cell name means if I was to then email my spreadsheet to somebody else that was using JAWS, it would automatically read the headings out for them as well. So that's a nice way of getting it to work. So let's just see how we can do this. So if I come down here.
Blank, fruit, A3.
So it's a list of fruit and vegetables here.
Blank, A product, A5. Apples, A6. Bananas, A7.
So if I go across this row.
199, 183, C7.
I have no idea what these numbers are referring to. If I go down the column now.
467,
I've got C8. No idea what fruit that is. So
400, February, C blank,
so I'm going to go back over to my main heading.
Product, A5.
So. In Excel, there are a number of ways you can make the heading read automatically. I'm just using a shortcut here. It's Insert, Control, Alt, and C for column.
Setting column titles row range to 5.
Followed by Insert, Control, Alt, and R.
Setting row titles column range to A.
So what that means is, from this cell forward, as I go down a column, it will read out the row label. And as I go across a row, it'll read out the column heading. Let's just see what this spreadsheet sounds like now.
Apples, A6, January, 397. B6, February, 419. March, 399.
If I go down the column, it will read out the fruit.
Bananas, 214. D7. Oranges, 388. D8. Strawberries, 161.
And so on.
Product, A5. Edge of current data region.
So that's how to set the range quickly. Has anyone got any questions that we could
Microsoft Excel
have a look at?
If I'm working in Word and I'm not very sure what I'm doing and I'm saving whenever I get something right, and then I get into a mess and I don't want it to save changes, how can I ensure that?
So if you don't want to save changes.
I don't want to save the last bit, the last lot of changes that I made. I know there's autosave, which can, it may be autosave that I'm asking about, but going back a few years, if I exited from Word, I would be asked whether I wanted to save changes. I'm not usually asked that now.
Okay, so if you've got autosave on, that's typically used to save files to a cloud. Typically, if you're sharing a file with somebody else, that's the main benefit of autosave. But just in terms of saving something, if I go back into Word here.
Escape. Search box edit. Word. Enter. Documents.
When you press Alt F4.
Alt F4. Listening to RNIB talking.
Maybe if I put something in there, be
listening,
handy, wouldn't it?
Search word rod enter. Space.
So
document 3 Alt F4. Save button to activate. Press
so
space bar.
You land on the save button, but you can press the tab key to go across to don't save.
Don't save button to activate. Press space bar. Alt plus N.
Is that what you're talking about? That.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So you just can press the tab key because there are three options on the screen here. There's save, don't save, and cancel. Cancel just puts you back into the document. So all you need to do is press the tab key.
Gary, if it's on autosave though, will it have saved it in the background?
Yes, yeah, so typically that's what it's used for, saving on a cloud or just as autosave will save every so many minutes. So every so many minutes it will save.
So you might want to turn autosave off
you can turn it off, yeah.
Enter. Listening to RNIB talking books and I.
So just really briefly on the autosave thing, if you're using OneDrive or SharePoint or Teams as a file store for whichever document you've got open, you might find that actually you can't disable autosave because the saving, those systems are so integrated with one another, and particularly if you're collaborating on a document. I mean, I know this is more of a sort of in a corporate environment, but if you're working on a document with somebody else and you've both got it open at the same time, when you make a change, the change will apply instantly. You don't actually have to save it for it to happen. So if you've made a change that you don't want to keep, in that circumstance, that's where the change history, so being able to undo things, can help there. Now, I haven't found a reliable way of actually tracking or getting a list of the most recent changes so you know what you're about to undo, but the shortcut to undo the last change that you made is Control Z. But yeah, it's complicated now with cloud storage, as you say, but I hope that's...
Yeah, helpful. Yeah. If it's just on a home PC, you know, one you're using, but not on a network, you can turn autosave off. And I would suggest doing that, to be honest. Or you could change the length of time between the saves, because you can say to Word, save every 15 minutes or save every 20 minutes automatically. So just increase that length of time between the saves.
I have an Excel question, actually. I keep a regular track of my money going in and out in my home kind of budget thing.
Yeah.
But I've discovered, and at the end of it, I always have a total this, total that, whatever. Now, occasionally, I want to remove a line of budget. You know, something's changed, and I don't need that anymore. But when I come to look at the totals at the end, they're still the same. They haven't reflected that I've taken the line out. Is there any way, is there any solution to that? I did try refresh, and it didn't seem to work.
I think that what you could do is the cell that contains the total, are all the cells above that cell populated with numeric data, or are there any blank ones in that?
No, they're all populated with data.
So what you could do is you could place the cursor in that cell and just press Alt equals, which is auto sum, and it will recalculate it for that
column. Oh, okay.
So alternate equals will recalculate it for that range of cells.
Okay. But if it's a whole line that I've taken out?
It should take it out of the calculation. Yeah, it should take it out.
Yeah, no, I just find it's not, but I'll try that. I never thought of the auto sum thing. Thank you, Gary.
Okay,
thanks.
No problem.
Break the formula. So sometimes you have to go in and redo the formula in the total.
Yeah. Well, if you add a row at the bottom of the range of cells, David's right, you'd have to recalculate the formula. If you add a row in the middle of that range, it should calculate it.
Sometimes it breaks the formula, Gary, so you have to either copy this, especially if it's looking at a sum above. So it depends on how the formulas are set up and the content, I think.
Yes, if you add it at the top of the range or the bottom, you would need to, if it's in the middle of the range, it will automatically add it up. Definitely. No worries.
Any other questions? Sorry, Philip.
If you don't have automatic calculation turned on, that might be the problem there.
How do you turn on automatic
calculation? So it's in file options.
It's in the settings, and I think it's in advanced. So if I go into the settings, am I in Excel?
Title is Word-Protected View. Sorry. Search box edit. Excel blank. Enter. Please wait. Book 1. Dash Excel. Alt menu. Options. Leaving menus.
It's in here. I think it's in advanced.
Accessibility. Advanced. 8 of
10. There's dozens of options in here. And it's to do with recalculating. I can't remember exactly where it is in this dialog box. But I can certainly get that information for you and mail it to you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Escape. Escape.
Okay, I've got a question from Paul. Let's come and move the mic.
Hi, so I use or work have recently foisted autopilot onto us, and I was in Excel a few days ago and there was an error in one of the autopilot automatically picked up an error within one of the cells, and I suddenly found I couldn't then navigate the rest of the sheet because this got in the way. Is there anything I can do to stop? Is there any quick keystrokes I can use? And I'm using the latest version of JAWS, but are there any quick keystrokes I can use to try to mitigate that, to get back to what I'm supposed to be doing? Because it's really hit and miss sometimes when that happens.
So you get an error, and is the error message in the way of what you're trying to do?
Yeah, it's basically getting in the way, and I can't then navigate the rest of I can't navigate the sheet.
Okay, what I've come across that too, to be honest with you. What I've tended to do myself is I've switched away from Excel and then come back to it. So use Alt-Tab to go away from it, and then come back to it. And quite often, that will allow you to carry on. I don't know why, but it does. Or I press the Tab key a few times. And it's a bit random, I know. There's no obvious reason for that. But I would try Alt-Tabbing away from it and then coming back to it. I think you'll find that might work.
Lovely. Any final questions?
Yeah, question regarding Outlook, Gary.
Yeah.
If you've got an email thread which has a considerable number of messages within it, is there a quick way using shortcut keys,
yes,
either
yeah, there is.
Screen reader or Microsoft, where you can jump from one message going forwards or back, going to the start of the previous or the next email.
Yes.
Rather than just arrowing down and doing page
search down. Box, Outlook left, Paren, classic right, Paren.
Yes, there is. Enter. There is. I'll just
opening dash outlook.
Find the message
opening
dash outlook.
Conference Old Swan on the 21st of July.
Yes, yeah, so I'm pressing. This message has got multiple threads in it. And if I just press N, it will go to the first line of the next message. And then you can just work your way down it with the arrow keys. So if I press N again here.
Wrapping to top. Top of email thread.
The direction though, Gary.
Pardon?
Shift N, will it take you in the opposite direction? Backwards.
Yeah. So N for the next one.
Mark N on the 22nd.
And I'll press N again.
Conference Old Swan on the 20th.
I'm going to do a shift N to go back to Mark's.
Mark N on the 22nd of July.
And so on. So this has only got three threads in it, but if it had 10 or 15, it would just go from one thread to the next thread. So that's been around for a little while now in JAWS, but not many people tend to know about it. So yeah, does that answer your question, Ray?
Yes.
Yeah.
So right, I'll probably just do one more question.
Cheers, Gary. Great session. Quick question on Copilot. Any thoughts on keyboard commands, tips, you know, summaries, Excels, words? Copilot, how do you use it in terms of screen reader use?
So I've used Copilot a little bit in... Mark's not got Copilot on this machine, by the way. So I can't really demonstrate it. But with Copilot, there was a question. Somebody asked a question about it's interfering with when they start Word. It keeps saying, press Alt-I for Copilot or... and you can disable Copilot, which if I go into Word for example.
Search box, Wordle, to road, enter, opening new window, Wordle-search-Microsoft-Edge, Wordle, Alt-F4, search box, Word, enter.
So if you find that Copilot is really
Document-1-Word
getting on your nerves, you can go into the file menu,
menu,
and choose settings,
options, leaving menus, general.
And one of the categories is Copilot. Mark doesn't have it on here, I don't think.
Customize ribbon.
No. So one of the categories is Copilot. So you can select Copilot, and then you press the tab key once, and there's an option that says disable Copilot, and that will turn it off. Okay. Now, to answer that question you said about using Copilot, you need to have it enabled.
Escape.
And when it's enabled, I personally
escape.
Go to the Alt-Q.
Ribbon.
Type in Copilot and start it from there.
Escape.
And I found it quite accessible. So I said the other day to it, I typed into there's a box you can type into. I said, write me a document which explains the benefits of artificial intelligence for blind people. And it wrote the document. And then I pressed F6 to move away from the Copilot window back to the document, and I could read it. I could then save it, edit it, do what I like with it. Or I could go back to ask another question. I could say, could you simplify this for an elderly audience? And it would then change it to make it more layman's terms language. So it is very, very accessible. But unfortunately, I can't demonstrate it because we don't have it on the laptop. But
you could maybe do another session, Gary. Do a masterclass looking at Copilot.
We could do it on a Zoom, couldn't we?
We could do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Definitely.
Good. Well, thank you so much. I think we'll wrap up there. It's been a really interesting session. I've been dashing in and out, but I heard you saying that you've got some materials that you're going to be able to share afterwards.
I'll just share one more thing with you. There's a website called siteforsurrey.org.uk. And on that website, there's a link named Technology. And on the resulting page, there's another link called IT Handouts and Tutorials. And on that webpage, there's an extensive list of Excel, Word, and Outlook handouts for JAWS users, covering lots of different topics. So I suggest having a look on there, first of all, to see if you can find what you're looking for. If you can't, I'm quite happy to write some things. I write them all the time. So say, for example, you wanted a handout on Copilot, for example. I can always create one and add it to the list.
Sounds very valuable. Yeah,
okay.
Sounds really good. That'd be very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Gary, for your time.
No worries.
Thank you.